We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, aren't we lucky people? Aren't we lucky people? We get to play on this radio station for the next few hours. Lots of ways to do it. You can call in, be part of the live conversation, including this first hour, as I'm joined by the great Tom Shattuck, who is a newspaper editor, a former radio producer of mine, and a radio host in his own right. How are you, Thomas?
I am thrilled to be here today, Todd. I've very rarely been in such a good mood, especially in the last 4 months. But
what has you in such a good mood?
Well, I'm getting my checkbook together, Todd, to see if I have $14.50 to purchase a poster from Andrew Cuomo, who's now selling New York Tough posters. Wonderful illustration of the full defeat, seemingly without casualty, of the coronavirus by America's governor, whether or not you're a Republican or on the fence or a Cuomosexual, which is a thing now.
Wow, a Cuomosexual. Do they have a poster of what that looks like?
It's only a matter of time. But yes, Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo is now selling these posters for $15 that say New York Tough across the top, and there's a picture of him, and it shows this big mountain. It's a mountain that he had a fiberglass model of made that he's been using as a prop to show how they topped the mountain, summited the mountain in New York, and now descended victoriously on the other side of the virus. This mountain, and this is done in poster form. There's even a little, there's all sorts of different references on this picture of this mountain to his daughter and the boyfriend. It's all the greatest hits of how fun he was during his daily coronavirus briefings, with him bringing in different props, the hand sanitizer. Remember he brought out hand sanitizer? That's memorialized on the mountain. He mentions Corvettes. He wanted to have his coronavirus task force be like a dashboard of a Corvette. This is a picture of a Corvette. This is a wonderful keepsake, Todd. And by the way, there will be one arriving at your house as well.
Wait a sec. I thought you were having trouble scraping the $15 together.
I have decided that it's more important to share this among friends than to enrich my own interior home. Yes.
Many children.
That's right. This is more important. The gospel of Andrew Cuomo here. And the great thing is, in this poster, in the far right-hand corner, there's this little dig at Florida, Texas, and Arizona. It says Florida, Texas, and Arizona, and there's spikes up saying spiking right now. You know? What a guy. What a guy.
As if this thing doesn't have a life of its own and doesn't make its own decisions about where it's going next. And we don't know that it only goes in one direction. I don't know why Governor Cuomo would be gambling on the idea that he's not going to get bit in the butt once again.
Well, once again, and that's the point of this, is this poster discounted for the families of the 32,000 people who died in New York? It's remarkable. Cuomo's, this should not be a mountain. This guy's plan, his coronavirus endeavor, exploded on the tarmac. What happened in New York is disgusting and is a direct result of orders from his office, from his executive, saying get sick COVID patients right back into the nursing homes and assisted care facilities. And they did, and this thing feasted, this virus feasted on 32,000 New Yorkers. And as far as we know so little about this virus, is that it may have successfully killed everybody in New York that it could have. That might be what it did. You know, we don't know how many people have it all together. That it may have, that might have been the saturation in New York. We do know that Florida has fewer deaths than New York and Massachusetts and Connecticut, and so does Nevada and so does Texas, although he's happy to somehow, you know, throw shade at these other states because they're spiking in cases, even though the fatality rate mm-hmm. continues to decline. I mean, I'm laughing about it, but this is really, really sick. I don't even know. It's like this is a bigger span level of Janet Reno selling like Waco posters afterwards. And yeah, true, they did stop the epidemic of underage sex happening at Waco. That is true. But somewhere along the way, something else happened too that's notable, in which is that everybody, all the women and children, were killed.
Yeah, so we in Connecticut have witnessed the boldness and brazenness and deceptiveness with which even the beginner leader that is the governor of Connecticut has instantly got himself in the mode of doing, and that is just being shameless in misrepresenting reality as a way to, I think the calculation is in Connecticut, I don't know if the same can be said of New York City, which is the media capital of the country, but in Connecticut, there's no news coverage to speak of. There's nobody doing reporting. And the governor having a daily press conference, he gets to set the agenda for what people perceive reality to be.
Right, and I think that the media, if there's no press coverage, the media has decided large scale to be complicit in using this and all of these press conferences by the governors as a contrast to President Trump. And so they are just happy to tell you just how spot on these pressers are by the real competent executive leaders. You know, whereas had President Trump talked about his daughter's boyfriend at any of these situations, or it had come out with Trump hand sanitizer, you know coverage would have been horrific and crazy. But it is...
No, but let me just drive that point home a little more for listeners, because when I was a kid, when I was in college, I worked in radio, or just after college, I worked for small AM radio stations, which were a big deal back then, doing news. And you would figure out what stories to do by what was in the national news if you couldn't find a good local one to do. And you would take the story from whatever the national thing was focused on. Say COVID is the big national story. So you call some local people who are connected to the COVID story in some way and get their local opinion. You don't care which side it's on. You just get someone local to bring a community in your listening area into the story instead of just reporting a national story. And the other thing you would do is if there was a comment from the governor, say, or the mayor, you would go call up and somebody on the other side politically and get him to react. So one story would contain the lies of one side countered by the counter lies of the mm-hmm. other side. And then at least you've got something that people can hang their hats on that looks like news. I mean, I'm talking about low cost news operations. These major outlets now just repeat utter nonsense like they're trying to be social media.
Right. And I do think that, unfortunately, you've got much younger reporters who are around, in Cuomo's case, in Albany. So when somebody says, what do we do about, or what's your comment on all of the casualties in nursing mm-hmm. homes, he'll lecture back and say, listen, this is no time during this crisis to Monday morning quarterback, as we're still navigating our way through these dangerous waters of an unprecedented crisis. And you can feel the reporters getting intimidated, saying, wow, you know what? He's really speaking to my conscience here. I better abide. Rather than go right back at him, saying families want to know why you were ordering sick people into these people when they're into these places when they're immunocompromised. Can you please tell families why you did that and why you thought it was a good idea and how you're still in a good mood because of it? But they're not going to do it. They're afraid. And now with media companies being afraid of somebody, one of the governor's flacks calling the newsroom saying, "Hey, you're not getting access to us anymore." There are just fewer and fewer people to stand up to this stuff.
You mentioned before that the older reporters aren't around anymore, and that's what's been going on over the past 25 years. You know, the internet has driven the high cost experience guys who've got the institutional knowledge about how you do handle a governor who's coming at you, and what young reporter is going to have the fortitude to stand up to that kind of onslaught from a Governor Cuomo like you're describing, Tom, if he's not at least being coached by somebody older who's been through it, mm-hmm. and tells him what to expect and be prepared and to go after it. So you're a newspaper guy. Tom Shattuck is our guest. And by the way, whenever Tom is here, if you want to call in, just treat it like normal showtime and you can call and take part in the conversation. You know, you're in the newspaper business. You're a senior editor, or whatever they call you over there, mm-hmm. and you're only 19 or 20, so it doesn't take much to be a senior editor now, I guess. But how does it work? I mean, does anybody back you up in the newspaper business today if you make trouble and there's an angry call from a governor's office?
In my newsroom, I'm at the Lowell Sun and the Fitchburg Sentinel Enterprise, and we've got editors who have been there for decades. And they are Teflon, and they are not intimidated. And we have a publisher who's very supportive of us, and we're very lucky that way. Because when I was in radio at other companies, in other places, other times, they would fold instantly. When I was there, used to be a big FM talker in Boston, and one time the governor came in, and he said, "You know what? We have a First Amendment in this country. Sometimes I wish we didn't." And then that was on the previous show. Then my show, we got going. My show came in. We took the sound cut and we played it. And the governor said, called the program director and said, "That is taken out of context. How dare you?" Whatever. And the program director, as usual, you know, yelled at me, who was the producer. And my job then was to yell at the host during the break. And then the host went in and argued out with the program director and got suspended. You know, they were that easy. That used to happen all the time.
Wait, who got suspended?
In this case, it was Michael Graham, who's the host. Oh yeah, they were getting suspended between he and the
just
late
so
Jay
people
Severin.
Understand. I want to tell people how it's supposed to work. What's supposed to happen is you get that call from the governor's office or the program director. She gets the call, and her job is to say nothing to you except later after the smoke is cleared to laugh with you about
right.
it. And to let her know how she told him, "You guys were doing the right thing. That's what we do here. And you should have never heard anything negative about that. That's what your job is."
Right. And right now, as an editor at my paper, we have a state rep up in Massachusetts for Lowell, who has been indicted on a bunch of charges. And so he's especially prickly about some of our coverage about him now because he can't really say anything.
I can't imagine why.
Right. So he calls, he's angry, and he says, this, lawyers, this, and all sorts of vitriol, etc. And my job really is to say, "I understand. You know, you're welcome to use the pages of our paper to fire right back, and you can make it personal, and you can, you know, have a friend do it, right in op-ed. You know, the pages, the forum is yours." And that's how we do it. And that's how really radio, you know, should be doing it. Program directors should be doing the same thing. If Ned Lamont calls your program director, they should say, "Well, if you want to take on Todd, feel free. We'll block it. You know, you have the time." But, you know, not anymore. People, they get bullied too much. You know, government never shrinks, but legacy media does shrink and is shrinking. So Cuomo can do and say what he wants to. You're not going to have somebody doorstep him at a ribbon cutting, which is mm-hmm. where you do it, which is where you get the most bang for your buck, probably. They're just afraid to. And so they propagate this stuff. This guy is, you know, we had people judging the awfulness of the coronavirus when it came to Trump by comparing it to war casualties. Well, if you lost 6,500 during the Iraq war, and in New York now you've lost 30,000, that's almost a little under five times, I think, the amount of five Iraq wars, as the leftist media would say. But no way would they dare do that to Cuomo. No, he's been sainted. He's been fully canonized by the left. And we're supposed to forget about all the dead people. That's not the point. The point is masks and long lectures with personal anecdotes. You know, And now the poster. Buy the poster, and that's the bookend to this thing. And then you're to move right along and vote for him
the
for
poster.
President.
All right, so Tom's referring to the poster that Andrew Cuomo came out with to promote what a beautiful job they did in New York. He did in New York fighting the COVID virus. If you want to see it, I've linked the story onto my Facebook page. Just go to toddtalk.com. It'll bring you right there, toddtalk.com. 860-522-9842. We'll take a quick break. Continue with Tom Shattuck from the Lowell Sun newspaper on WTIC. Tom Shattuck is here, newspaper guy, radio guy. We're talking about the news, the big news, the small news, whatever news is on our minds. And always fun to have you here, Thomas. Let's grab a quick phone call. Joe is calling from New Hampshire. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Todd. Hello to your guests, too.
Hey, Joe.
Very interesting.
Tom is his name.
Tom. It's good to hear from you.
You too, Joe. Thank you.
Yeah, that poster on Governor Cuomo out in New York, that's big news. Now, since Governor Lamont of Connecticut waits for Governor Cuomo's blessing before he makes a move in Connecticut, I would fully expect Governor Lamont to come out with his own poster pretty soon. And I believe the background on it would be he handing out the masks, not Bob Stefanowski. You could have a picture of a nursing home with people being brought in that are sick, and maybe have a toll station.
Oh,
in the far background.
I love that idea, Joe. They could take, I could see the governor's office taking video of Bob giving out his masks at those big events, and they could just cut in the, just Photoshop in the governor.
That's what they will do. That's what they do. And the news media won't report on it. They'll let it go. It's a fact.
Well, unfortunately, or shockingly, the nursing home scene has been underrepresented in this New York Tough poster, and I'm sure the same thing will be for Connecticut when Ned Lamont gets his own. There is no depiction of the nursing home catastrophe in this. That is not part of Strength of Mountain, where there is a rainbow flag over the mountain and a crest that says "Love Wins." Love wins, you know. It just depends on where you're housed during the last few days of your life, unbeknownst to you. Love is winning. That's what that is. When those flatlining, as entire floors are being decimated. And we had the same thing, of course, up here in Massachusetts, where by and large the vast majority of deaths were in the nursing homes, and they didn't.
Is that true? What do you know? What the percentage is in Massachusetts?
So we've got, I think, 8,200 deaths, and over 5,000 were nursing homes.
Okay, so it's very not quite. I think it's 74% in Connecticut, and it's an incredible thing that they would have the gall to in any way act like something good had happened. Let's grab another call from New Hampshire. Bill, hello there. You're on with Tom Shattuck.
Hi.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Tom, I just want to let you know that's what good intro music sounds like.
Whoa, betide you. That's a personal shot against my podcast, Todd, which is Tom Shattuck's burn barrel.
Yeah, but Bill is correct. Podcast. That is what good intro music sounds like.
Agreed.
It's a great podcast, but the intro sounds like you're at hold at the dentist office. But that's okay.
Oh, yes. What is that? What is that, Tom, that music?
It's a guy.
Where did you get that, Tom?
It's a guy. It's a small artist I found on Creative Commons called Brian Clegg or something. Oddly enough,
see,
it was
you got to cut him slack. He was trying to be legal, Bill, so he didn't want to violate any licenses. So there isn't much out there that's too exceptional. All right,
I got a question for you. I think Trump's going to win the election because this is beginning to smell like 2016 again, where the numbers are closing. You know, everyone says he's done for, and it's going to be close, but I think he's going to win. In the event he does, what do you guys think is going to happen to the legacy media?
I already
you
think
mean,
you,
like
I'll
do
tell you...
they all jump off a cliff?
From a business perspective, what's going to happen with them? Because they especially things like CNN and NBC, have been shilling this for numbers forever. And if you looked at MSNBC, their numbers took a big hit after the Mueller report, where they were shilling the Russian collusion case forever, and they were driving big numbers, and then Mueller came in and said there was no collusion, and the numbers tanked.
Right.
And so, similarly with – go ahead.
No, so, yeah, so what
hold
I
on,
think
Bill. Let's get an answer from Tom. Go ahead.
So
Tom.
I think you're already seeing what's happening right now is that they're that the talent from a lot of these places is they're disembarking the legacy media vehicles. So Matt Taibbi is breaking ties with Rolling Stone. He's going to be doing his own thing, podcast, newsletters, that thing. Barry Weiss is leaving the New York Times, which is a big thing as well. I, you know, there is a room, there's a niche for Chris Hayes and Maddow at MSNBC. Some of the other talent, like Steve Kornacki, is a talented guy. I assume he'll be doing his own thing. If Trump wins re-election, there's really no reason anymore for Morning Joe. I could see him doing the same thing. I think you're right. I think that the numbers will continue to diminish in some of these things. And
all right, let's talk a little bit more about this. Not the media per se, but the whole Trump thing. I want to discuss what his chances are. How do you feel the election's going to go? Let's break that down. We'll take some calls on it coming up after news on WTIC. WTIC, Todd here with Tom Shattuck. When you call in, say hi, Tom, and he'll be very pleased. 860-522-9842. Don't forget, on the rant line, 751-4698. What do you think will happen to Republicans and the president in November? Does the president win re-election? Do the Republicans hold the Senate? And we've sort of gotten into that right now, Tom. You mind if we take a few more phone calls?
Please.
Let's go to Stephen first in Connecticut here. He's got an interesting point to make, I think. Hello, Stephen.
Hi, Todd. Hello, Tom.
Hello.
I believe we were literally in a war for our country, but the problem is the soldiers on the right aren't in the battle because we don't have anyone leading us into the charge. We literally need to stop all the left propaganda that's taking place. It's just an incessant tide of lies and propaganda against Trump and against me personally as a citizen of this country. And we have no way to combat it. We have no leaders that are out there standing up against this.
Now, are you talking about just in the state, or are you talking about in Washington as well?
Well, I feel at New York State, I am from New York, we have a tyrant in our governor, and I would say a good majority of the people in our state believe he's a tyrant, but we have no way to get together and cry out and say it back to him. All we hear is day after day after day, his rhetoric. We even have it on the signs along the highways.
Yeah.
Put your masks on. COVID is uprising. It's all this garbage inundating us, and we have no way to push back.
Yeah, between
right, Stephen, that's a good point. Go ahead, Tom.
He makes a great point. And between that and then the ultimate clown in New York City, there isn't any more room for to get into the news cycle. And you're right. I haven't heard too many voices. I also assume that New York State is just gerrymandered to the hilt, and that all of the conservatives would have to move to the left-hand corner to get any representation. But
Tom, there is this dynamic when you're in a blue state or in a blue region that what Republicans tend to do is to get quiet and go along. And they somehow think that to marginally be able to pick away at the power structure and maybe trade favors is serving the interests of the people and is going to move them forward. And I think the thing that people who believe in the American system of government have to do is to stand up and explain it day in and day out why we are right, why you have to ignore the barrage, the one-sided barrage of leftist anti-American propaganda that dominates virtually everything streaming out of any news source.
You're right. And one of the energies I think that has a chance to do that you're hearing vocal reaction to is this cancel culture. And there is no palate in this country for these mobs of tribunals to make decisions on what stays and what goes and what changes are made and rewriting history. And I think people are offended by that. And I think it goes beyond
party
lines. Well,
maybe they are, but do you not fear that there's some sort of critical mass being reached by the anti-American crowd where they now have the voice of the mainstream media and they are looking to tear down every structure they can find? You know, they might start with a Christopher Columbus, who maybe there's a tangential case for why there shouldn't be an honor to him. But they're going after everybody now. And it's like if you lived in the times you lived in, then you're culpable because those aren't our times. Everything that isn't the belief that the AOCs of the world are pushing right now is a criminal offense.
I agree with that. And I think that some of these people who are now demonstrating their virtue on Facebook would have called their they would have called those themselves from 2 years ago, would have said, you're intolerant, racist. Look at you. 2 years ago, those same people may have said something, a horrible slur like, all lives matter, which is considered now the end of days. You can't
fighting
even
fighting words.
Right, exactly. But, you know, just anecdotally, I've heard from a couple of anti-Trumpers who say they are going to vote for Trump now because of the cancel culture stuff. A lot of sports fans seeing teams get bullied and pushed around, and and it may just be that people who do not like Trump are going to say the heck with it. This is not about him. This is about the rest of the culture being hijacked by these weird Marxist forces that have really been empowered now because the media has stopped doing its job, because their job now is to simply propagandize against Trump. I mean, that said, he's down 25 points in the suburbs. 60-35, and he won the suburbs by a small amount in 2016. So maybe they should start answering the phones and taking these poll questions, or I mean, who knows? On the numbers, it is not good for Trump right now, and he has not taken advantage of all of this stuff happening.
That's Tom Shattuck. He's a old buddy of mine, radio friend, and we used to work together. He's a newspaper guy in Massachusetts. Jim in Wellington. Hi, you're on WTIC.
Todd, thank you. And Tom kind of stole my thunder there. But let me tell you why I think Trump's going to win. If we just forget about this Marxist, racist-based rhetoric that's currently overrun the Democratic Party's leadership's message, let's just forget all that for a minute. To Tom's point, there are so many moderate Democrats out there with their heads in the sand. I'm talking about the politicians now that are saying nothing, that are letting this process of chipping away at Trump with all of this crazy talk and this, like I said, Marxist racist stuff, saying nothing. At the same time, those moderate Democratic Party voters are looking at all this and saying, hey, and all I can remember, I remember going back, I think around 70, 72, I think it was the 72 election. The same exact thing happened. And the only difference in my mind is that then you had three major stations. Now you've got all the social media and everybody else blasting the same type of message that went on back in 72 when Nixon won in an absolute landslide. And to Tom's point, people, no matter the political differences, are looking around and saying, you know what? This is nuts. I'm not voting for the other guy, specifically because my party has been taken over by a bunch of Marxists, just like it was in 70, 71, 72. And they're going to say, I can deal with Trump for four more years because politics are politics. But America is my country, and I'm not dealing with this anymore. And I think they're going to send a message, and I think Trump's going to win big. I don't think it's going to be that close. I think it's going to win big. Wow. I really do.
Well, I hope you're right, Jim. Thank you for the call. 860-522-9842. Thomas, what's different now from 4 years ago is that Donald Trump is a reality now. He was a fantasy 4 years ago. There was something appealing about the way he spoke, that he was such a disruptor. And he was running against the worst possible candidate in the world, in Hillary Clinton. You couldn't pick a worse candidate for a worse moment than the Democrats chose 4 years ago. Now, the only way it seems to me that things line up the way Jim just said is if Joe Biden turns out to outdo Hillary Clinton in being the worst candidate for the moment. And is that possible in your mind, that that's how it plays out?
Well, that's very possible. He is such a fallible candidate. Even if Joe Biden had full control of his mental faculties, which I do not believe he does, his body of work is, you know, this is all targets of opportunity. You know, from his body of work on criminal justice, essentially incarcerating generations of young black men. I believe we're celebrating young black men right now, and criminal justice reform. So Joe Biden's on one end of that. Trump signed the bill that released young black men, gave a lot of generations of men a second chance. If Trump can stick to
what you're saying,
like that,
if
he can stick
to
things like
that,
you're
saying a lot of these structures. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, if he can stick to things like that and the tax cuts for everybody and what he had done with deregulation to juice the economy and not talk about Joe Scarborough killing his intern, then Trump would be making a lot of headway on this stuff. I mean, that's just on the resume. Also, if people think that Joe Biden is a Trojan horse that's going to be occupied by these postmodern intersexual, academic fascists, who we're seeing right now writing big block letters on streets as artwork, et cetera, if he is seen as somebody who's going to be absconded with by those people, then I think that you'll have people in the suburbs saying, no, I don't think we want that. But he's got to get out of his basement. Right now he has no reason to get out of his basement because Trump is not making the contest close enough for Biden to have
Trump
to emerge.
Trump is not forcing him out.
Right, he's not forcing him out.
Yeah, Trump started embarrassing him out and forcing him out. Where are the attacks or when are they coming? Maybe maybe the Trump people have some master plan here and they feel like the bombs that have been built by Biden for Biden to step on and set off and self-destruct are so big and so beautiful that they don't even want to use them yet. They want to wait till the Democrats get further along. Maybe they think there's still a risk that Biden won't be the nominee, that the mm-hmm. Democrats will panic at the last minute and bring in somebody else, and they don't want to do anything to risk the early elimination of Joe Biden because he is such a flawed candidate. It could be, but what you're saying has to weigh heavy, I think, on anybody wanting to see a Trump reelection, and that is that he doesn't seem able to alter the way he does things. It's one mode all the time. That mode worked really well for 3 years. It hasn't been working very well since COVID happened. And can he adjust and get out of his own way and use the natural forces that are unleashed right now to his own benefit, which are, as you say, inviting him to make his point?
You're right. And if you look at the coverage of Cuomo and what his day-to-day briefings with all his silly anecdotes and et cetera, a lot of times he got the information wrong. And then Trump's attempt, where at first he got good poll numbers, actually. He started to get a bit of a tick up. Trump undermined himself the entire way through with dumb tweets about, actors and TV shows and et cetera. And so it totally torpedoed any visual of Trump taking the COVID coronavirus stuff seriously. You think to yourself, where's his mind? His mind needs to be on this. At least look the part. For him to walk out of these meetings and then 5 minutes later tweet about Mika Brzezinski shakes confidence in those suburbs where he needs those people to come back to him. So, I mean, he could do it. If I were running the Trump campaign, the first thing I would do is outflank Biden on the left, say, hey, I challenge you, Joe Biden, immediately tell schools to open because the most disadvantaged students need somewhere to eat in the morning. Remember, that's a Bernie Sanders thing. And they need after-school programs so they don't get shot in the streets so mom and dad can work. Do something like that. Start there. Get on the offense. Put Biden back in his heels. He has no game anyway. Put him back in his heels and make them scramble. And the media would go nuts and say.
And build those narratives for when they get to debate.
So that
Biden's got a hole to dig himself out of. We're talking to Tom Shattuck. We will continue. Coming up, we'll take some calls, too, on WTIC. WTIC, Tom Shattuck is here. Thank you once again, Thomas, for taking the time to do some radio today. 860-522-9842. Joe calling from Simsbury. Hello, Joe.
Hello there. Did I lose you?
Hey, Joe.
Joe, talk to me.
Okay. So I have a question, because we're supposed to talk honestly about race. I'm very much a person that judges people and individuals on the content of their character. However, why is it wrong for me to judge subgroups on the content of their culture?
Well, give us an example of what you mean.
There are so many little children that are being killed around this country over the last few months. Why would I not have some level of what I'll call troubled thoughts about the culture of the people who would be so reckless as to shoot a little one-year-old in the head, a four-year-old in the chest? Why should I not have negative feelings on them as a subgroup?
I think on the perpetrators.
I can't think of a reason. Yeah, you take it, Tom. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I think on the perpetrators of crime, I would certainly understand that. I mean, I would think that if you're talking about the subgroup, do you mean African Americans, or do you mean perps?
Usually it is, but part of that subgroup is not just those that pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. But those that, and I've seen this on the news in the interviews with some of these families, that the old saying, snitches get stitches.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not snitch on someone who just murdered a child?
So I had the opportunity to talk to a room full of mothers from the inner city in Boston who had lost children to gun violence. And one of the problems was, you're right, is that they knew who killed their kids, and the kids who shot them lived three doors down. And they knew every day they'd drive past them and they'd see them hang out there. They knew who killed their kids, and it was heartbreaking for them. But some of them felt very unsafe. Also in Boston, they bankrupted the witness protection program in the city, so there was no way to move out somewhere and you know adjudicate the case there and prosecute. So they generally
What you're talking about, Tom, is that the actual family members of the victims would know what Joe is talking about firsthand and agree with him wholeheartedly.
Yes. No. Absolutely. I think there's a lot to the conversation, and it's a difficult conversation. I think some people are just being cowards. I think other people hate the police and the criminal justice system for a number of reasons. Some valid, some not. And you know, this is also very much a class thing as well, and goes on in poor white communities as well. So
these are socioeconomic issues.
Yes.
But at the same time, there is the larger culture, that is the Democrats who control urban areas, for example, have made the policies that make these problems, permanent problems, and they've been doing it for a long time. So it's appropriate, I would think, to feel that you've been victimized if you live in these communities, mm-hmm. and to be angry at the power structure and to say, this is a sick system that I live in,
yes.
that, for example, protects police who harm innocent blacks or whomever.
Right. And I would also add that question in that subject matter would be considered explosive and off limits and poisonous in many, many newsrooms in this country and in many, many media platforms. And so we never get a resolution because we don't get to have these forums to talk about things like that. And I think that's part of the problem. I think people are yearning for more places to do that. Of course,
yes.
You're doing it, Todd.
We need free speech and the free
Correct.
Exchange of ideas. We're out of time, Thomas. Thank
you,
sir.
On.
That's it. All right. If you want to stay around, you can. I'm going to keep talking about the same things. It's up to you, but I'm sure you've got work to do.
My parents' shift begins in 2 minutes, so unfortunately, I got to go. But
I
love
it. Get to work. Tom Shattuck, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Hud.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.